I'm hoping this is going to ultimately be a Cohen Meander recording. This is Jason Demarop. I'm just coming back from the temple in Lubbock. And over the course of the last 2 weeks, I've done 2 endowments and a handful of initiatories. And ceilings of husbands and wives and their children. And to have all these things compressed into a short amount of time is interesting. I'm supposed to speak the week after Christmas. And I was asked by one of the counselors, but then we had our tithing declaration with the bishop, and the bishop asked me to consider talking about depression and abuse, and I was like, oh, these are touchy subjects for me. I have been accused of being abusive, which I think is kind of interesting. I think I could much more precisely be accused of neglect, especially with my children. No, I've taken down some notes. Lisa asked me what I used to say to the kids. I used to have a lot of PPIs with my children. Now I don't think they want to have much to do with me particularly. Lisa was asking me about accusations that have been leveled against her for being too preachy. And every day I tried to listen to a conference talk for the latest conference. And I just happened to get President Henry B. Eyring's talk was next. So I always go just kind of a round robin in order. And he was speaking along these lines and speaking about making sure we teach our children the gospel. And how there are so many voices that say, you know, be your child's buddy, and maybe they'll listen to you more. And what I got out of it was that he said, you know, you have so little time, especially with some of your more challenging children, that may never darken the door of the church or consider the gospel ever again. And if they do, in a bad way. And his answer to such things as how much should I do? How much should I press? And he pretty much said, you have so little time. You know. Talk all you can about it. Take every excuse you can find to tell them to do it and to teach them the power of repentance. Staying close to the Lord and being obedient to His commandments certainly won't make you a popular parent, but it is our duty. And so, I think much of the troubles around us are caused by the madding crowd, the cacophony of voices that are around us and that put, I don't even know how to describe it, that put terrible, terrible ideas into our heads. Don't ever make me feel guilty. Don't ever make me feel bad. I don't like that. They go, can I give you a hint? Nobody does. But guilt is powerful to impel us to change. Does Christ use guilt? I hope people are not taken too strongly by different words for it. Some call them teddy bear Jesus. Others just call it nice Jesus. Some manufactured picture to make us, well, he would never do that. He makes me feel good. My Jesus makes me feel good. You go, I don't know which Jesus you're really speaking. I know it's quite popular among the quasi-Christian to make flowery descriptions of a man who took his responsibility as the Messiah, as the Son of God, offended everyone. Offended everyone. Made them all feel like they needed to make improvements. They needed to be better people. To tell Brother Nero that his fly is down. Instead of not embarrassing me and keeping quiet until the kids snigger. You know? Better to help each other along than to give each other some kind of false story that we're all just fine. Remember when I was a child, word was, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. And I think too often we excused ungodly behavior and didn't pull somebody aside and say, you should probably take a better course. You should rethink your life. That when we think of Jesus Christ as our example, we need to read about Jesus Christ. from those who knew him best, the apostles, those that traveled with him, lived with him, at times felt, I guess you call it the loving lash, born of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And these are the things that we should anticipate as those who supposedly follow him, that we will face difficulty, that we will face rejection, that sweetness and light did not follow Christ. More often than not, it was the rebuke, gentle though it may have been, yet a rebuke. Christ had 3 years from the beginning of his ministry till his crucifixion. 3 years to assemble his 12 apostles to begin a church, to accomplish the atonement, raise the ire of the powers that be sufficiently so that they would be right to murder, to want this man dead. Nice guys don't fomate their own execution. Didn't say what his father wanted to say, even though it would stir up such resentment, hatred. How does that square with the nice Jesus, the nice fictional Jesus, growing number of people? I don't want those being abused to be left in that state. But we also don't want flagrant rise of abuse. Some precincts, given the recent election, there are cries, shrill cries of hatred. And some calls for death to a political difference. Calls to shave head. Deny the conjugal bed. His very soul had been rent. I don't know where that lies. In the pantheon of abuse, accusations being hurled, it's difficult to know. All one has to do is evoke the word abuse. And know no evidence is even needed. Well, these things are hard to see and hard to judge. One can quote a scripture, paraphrase one, or anything like that. When good is evil, evil is good. We are in the midst of this time. Stunning. Stunning to those, our progenitors. When those who enact the grossest sins turn the tables and call those who would point out the better course as evil, uncaring, not open-minded enough, ready at a second's notice to claim offense. How dare you, heartless, cruel person. Ten years ago, I was considered to be a pretty wonderful guy. Now I'm evil. Might as well accept the fact that that's how I will be perceived. I also follow an evil Christ. If you have noticed, the Christ of our parents, our grandparents and our great-grandparents, who blessed the righteous and cursed the wicked, and proclaimed the repentance, is hated and despised, and not the right Jesus. That's the Jesus I worship. That's the Jesus I strive to follow. I don't know this newfangled unconditional love Jesus. I don't know him. And I'm sure there are some in this crowd who would happily instruct me at length about how the new Jesus is the proper one to follow and deserves our devotion. But, nonetheless, I worship the Christ of commandments. Christ that, as I have read the scriptures, rarely patted anyone on the head, figuratively or literally, but constantly gave more to do. The young rich man came to Christ. Should I keep all these commandments? I do all this stuff. What more need I to do? Christ gave him a hard task, one that you would be difficult. You would find unpalatable and difficult. So all you have, give it to the poor. If you think you've made it on some level, there's always more to do. If you would follow Jesus Christ where he leads, not to make you feel warm and fuzzy in your sins. A Christ that accepts me as I am. Sell all you have. Give to the poor. He didn't think much of that rich young man, obedient though he was to all the commandments. One can't deny feelings. I'm depressed. I've been abused. Are these things used as bludgeons to exact vengeance on a family member, a spouse? Remember the hard, hard teaching. Cast the beam out of thine eye before you help your brother. Splinter out of there. This is hard. They offended you. They did something they shouldn't have done. And they must be punished. They very well might have. How many families have been torn to shreds in the pursuit of comparative virtue? Well, at least I don't do that. I'm not in the wrong. Perhaps you're not. The love of man waxed cold. How many divorces do we see? I'm not very statistical, but I know there's a lot. I fell out of love doesn't make you look virtuous. But my spouse abused me, turned you into the virtuous victim. It's easy to do. Nobody questions it. Girls, ladies, nobody questions it. Lives are destroyed. Make sure that's really what you want to do. These things happen amongst our group right here. So many of you don't even know, because they were offended in the past and will never darken the door of the church again. Perhaps if you heard their grievance, you might say, wow, not much to that. Perhaps. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. As for you, says to forgive. Forget. It doesn't mean you have to stay there. It doesn't mean you have to put up with horrors. It doesn't mean you have to accept physical violence. But nothing more cruel than a partner who has a deep societal advantage and uses it to hurt others. Women, I'm talking to you. All women must be believed in the evidence that we have of women making unfounded accusations. Not always, but enough times, knowing that women are far more effective victims than men will ever be. Men are evil. Men are horrible. And to bait your husband or your father in that light, so easy, and cover so many of your sins in the wonderful, in the wonderfully warm cloak of victimhood. I can't help be held responsible for cheating on my husband. He was so horrible to me, it justifies what I did. Wow. What a convenient justification for sin. What would nice Jesus say? I don't even want to know. What would the Jesus of your grandparents and your great-grandparents have to say about such behavior? I am justified. Men, don't smile. Women have only recently gained this power. Men had it for a long time. She denied me our bed. So I went and found somebody who wouldn't. Isn't she a horrible person? Did you give her a reason to enjoy the conjugal bed? I don't want to be around your house when you explain conjugal to your children. If you say, Nemro, you brought it up, you come and tell them. I guess I'll have to. But I think you'd probably rather do it yourself. I'd probably be a little straightforward. Anyway, I can't even begin to guess how much of this material will really make it into what I guess we would call the week between Christmas and New Year's? The big breath? I don't know, but things to say, scriptures to read, and you go, I'm not here to tell you anything but what I've read in scripture. How much we need to judge righteously and love of our neighbor has more to do with if we judge others the way we would like to be judged. Wouldn't you like to be forgiving of the other person? Let them be forgiving of you. Wouldn't that make it work better? Isn't that the Sermon on the Mount? Not so easy. Not so straightforward. Not so excusing of sin. We don't want to bludgeon other people because it's no fun. when the bludgeon comes for us and is justified? Did I abuse my kids? Well, I don't know. I will give you a shoulder to cry on when your children turn you in. Christ's condescension was to come to earth, feel our pains, know our heartaches, so that he could better understand us. He doesn't drop the standards. That's not what this is all about. This is all about, I know how hard it is. Got up in the morning, needing to go off and get some work done. The car wouldn't move. You can see the abrasion marks on the tire as the other tire tried to pull that one along, and it wouldn't move. It was scraping the rubber right off the tire. I still got to get that fixed. Get it replaced. And I was so upset. I had just taken this car in to get worked on for other things. All of a sudden, now the car won't move. Very expensive tow to a car dealership all the way in Clovis. I guess I could have stayed angry. I could have. I was justified on some level. I had been treated wrongly. Not done right, but got back to the shop and was fixed. And I was grateful. If they would have still charged me for figuring out what they did. They didn't, but if they would have, I would have still been grateful. Better to have the car than to have a big piece of scrap metal that serves me no purpose. I was upset. I was I was stomping around. Lisa could have very easily said, you know, I'm tired of your little outbursts. This isn't the way nice Jesus would behave. You know, I don't know. Jesus didn't have a car. I don't know. What I want to tell you, my wife did something higher. She said, I understand how you feel. It's easy to point out the bad guy. He's not keeping his, he's not controlling himself properly. He's not doing this and that the way I think he should. Where's my bludgeon? She didn't. What a blessing. My blessed wife. A blessing to me. All was forgiven. I was much better. I have to feed the family. I have a responsibility that I wasn't able to do. And I was sitting there going, how am I going to solve this? How should I handle this? And I was frustrated. I'm not going to say it was justified. Not even going to start that way. Not even. What I'm grateful for is my dear wife didn't pick up the bludgeon of offense and B, beat me silly with it. Thank you. I didn't swing the bludgeon of, maybe it was her example. I didn't swing the bludgeon of offense against the poor auto shop with some 25-year-old kid trying to salvage what little pride he had in the job that he had done. Was fixed. Cost me a lot of money to expedite, to get the fixed up, but it got fixed. All is forgiven. All is well. What a wonderful place. There could have been calls of abuse. Sure. And you all remember, I'm the bad guy. Told you all that enough times. If anything goes wrong, it's my fault. But my wife didn't even take that bait. Oh, I could call him the evil one because he's acting kind of evil. I was offered a chance at forgiveness and I got it. Thank you. Wow. We're trying to save souls here. Hard world. Those of us who have inborn needs to protect and provide get very frustrated. I was yelling. Matt came out of his bedroom shaking. Worried, I think, on some level that his family was falling apart. When the only thing that was really going wrong is I just basically wasted a few thousand dollars. Well, there's that. The not too distant past. A matter of $2,000 would have totally broken my economy for years. Now it doesn't anymore, but the impulse is still there. I'm just a poor man with a really good job. All of the impulses of the poor guy are still there. Kind of a take on teach up a child the way they should go and they will not depart from it. Can I be honest? A lot of my kids departed from it. It's a wonderful sentiment. I think it's from Proverbs or something, which is very hopeful, but not words that fall from God's lips. Bring up Jay in the way he should feel about money, and he will not depart from it. That's really bright, man. Was that your intention to blind me? Anyway, okay. Regardless. So yeah, we work so hard to make sure that people who cry abuse are heard, listened to, and that we never question them. And I'm not saying we need to question. What I'm saying is we need to take a breath, step back, and say, how much have I really been damaged by some outburst? You know, I used to tell my kids, when you're feeling depressed, your mind off yourself. Go and serve somebody else. Serve other people. This is the old, it'll help. not a trained therapist. But it's helped me. I've seen it help others. Give it a try. Try to put yourself in another person's shoes. A lot of abuse can be avoided by doing that. Walking, when you're pressed to walk a mile, walk twain. See what getting a better attitude can do. Whoa. Golly. You're really angry? Go out and kick the car. That's what I wanted to do. It can take a lot more of that kind of abuse than a spouse or your children. Your parents, perhaps. Don't forget to be a little forgiving. Some people have big responsibilities. Right up there with depression and abuse or anxiety and unrealistic expectations. Overwork. It's easy to cry one and ignore another. Say, I'm offended. They don't have a right to feel the way they do or to react the way they react. Christ got pretty upset. That's a euphemism. That means I'm really downplaying what happened. Jesus Christ, whoa, a cat of nine tails. This is a whip. Sometimes little bits of metal in it. It is made to inflict great injury. And he drove out the money changers. They were just plying their trade, turning secular money into temple money. Christ came among us. He knows our trust. He knows our troubles. Sadly, better than many of us do. Oh, nobody could be suffering as badly as much as I am. Women are emotional, men are stolid, or used to be stolid, or supposed to be stolid. And you know what? Sometimes you can be stolid, sometimes, oh my gosh. Something horrible hits the fan. Something smelling hits the fan. The fourth or fifth compounding obligation that has just fallen apart. Skip along. Tra-la-la-la-la-la. Everything's fine. But it's not. Christ cleansed that temple. And he wasn't going around saying, oh, please, I'm sorry. I don't understand why I've got a whip in my hand. Cleanse the temple. I don't think they were going to leave in response to, will you please be more reverent in my Father's house. Drove them out. It wasn't nice. Nobody appreciated it. They killed him a few days later. don't think he made many friends. So, hope when somebody in your house gets really mad about something. So, I hope you give Jesus a break for being a little harried trying to accomplish so much in 3 years. How he is often exasperated by the lack of progress, lack of spiritual progress from his apostles, who seemed to never understand anything. Oops, you know what I'm going to do? I don't want to have the light shining on. Sorry, guy. We'll do it this way. All right. Well, so, fine. You sure give Jesus the benefit of the doubt. He's the most wonderful, loving, fantastic person in the whole world. I wouldn't say anything against it. But I remember some incidents. Am I going to rub it in his face? No. It says, let us try at least on some level to do the same for those around us, especially the ones closest to us, spouses, children, parents. Life is hard. These are difficult times. To be honest, there really aren't very many not difficult times. Let's be kind to one another. It's easy to be depressed. And it's easy not to act like a saint when presented with so many interesting problems. The Lord was depressed. Think about another one. Elijah. Remember him? Depressed. Depressed. I feel like I'm like Elijah's soul brother. Yeah. What do we do? What is there to be done? I don't know. But I hope to give you a break. I hope you give me a break. That we can all get through these times. I'm trying to figure out, there's some flashing light. I don't know where it's coming from. But anyway, so there's that. I gotta think about what I'm going to say and what I'm not going to say. And it's like, well, you know what? You should probably take your own advice and say some things that probably will very much upset people. Anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and stop this. This has been I don't know exactly what to call this one, but I am going to call it a Cohen Meander recording, and we'll probably call it December Talk Prep, and we'll leave it at that. I'm not going to leave it with the priestly blessing, but, you know, it would be appropriate. It would be appropriate. So I will. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, cause his face to smile upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace.